This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you are with us here on this Monday morning. I direct you to the Facebook page. Of course, there, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. We're going to be interacting and read your comments. Kim will be answering a lot of those for you this morning as we move along. We get a round of applause, please, Carl, for Kim's hat this morning. Thank you for those tuning in there on the socials. You'll be able to see it on radio. You can't, but she has a hat on that says "Make Missouri Great Again," courtesy of the incoming lieutenant governor who gave you that hat.
Yes.
He sent that to you personally.
I know. I was excited to wear it this morning.
Yeah. They're having the big inauguration festivities, of course, coming up at the Capitol, I believe, on the 13th. And the 13th of January is when a lot of folks will be up there. Hopefully we have as good a weather that day as we've had the last couple of days when it's been in the 50s. There are rain showers out there this morning, so be watchful of that. I saw some lightning strikes somewhere to the east of downtown this morning, and there seems to be a whole string of rain moving up sort of from the south to the northeast of us. So we may be tracking in some of that, but we'll keep you up to date on traffic. Sue Thomas has the week off, and you've heard Trent filling in for her this morning, but we've still got you covered with everything you need to know. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Cully Stimpson. I have a question for him. I do. If I don't know if you heard me play this earlier or not. I thought it was pretty funny. But Steve Bannon yesterday loves to take a big old stick and find a hornet's nest and rattle it around in there and just see what happens, because he just loves to do that because he's Steve Bannon and he can. And yesterday he said this in front of a group of hundreds of people where they were having a meeting with incoming Republicans.
Since it doesn't actually say consecutive, that, I don't know, maybe we do it again in 28. Are you guys down for that? Trump 28?
Yeah. Can you imagine the left, who already thinks he's going to be a dictator, hearing Steve Bannon, the man they love to hate, promoting the possibility of a Trump running for office again?
I thought the left was already saying that. As soon as Trump got elected, people were freaking out that he would run again.
He'll try to run again. Because when they changed the rules after the last Democrat that served four terms, they said you couldn't serve two consecutive terms. Well, unless you want to agree with me suddenly that he won in 2020, he has not served consecutive terms. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how the legal experts are. I don't think Trump has any interest in that.
He'll be 82 at the end of this term.
I just love that Bannon is stirring him up over that. We'll ask Cully exactly what the wording of that says. He's one of the senior legal fellows at Heritage. I got that coming up for you here shortly. But, Carl, right now let's get to the top stories of the day, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Now, the American people, I think, voted for him in part because they wanted something done about crime, not because they wanted to see him pardon criminals attacking the government.
But please tell me how Shifty Schiff not only is still part of the conversation, this lying ideologue from the liberal left coast of this country, but he's managed to get a promotion. Only in California could that happen.
Joe Biden has already abused the pardon power more than any president in history, and I'm pretty confident he hasn't even started the pardoning process yet.
Yeah, Jamie Comer there from the House, he's been leading this investigation into, you know, what happened with the Biden crime family, but he had some interesting things to say about this continuing investigation into the Bidens.
What made me want to make my own cologne is me just wanting to smell good. Okay, people may not notice about me, but I rather prefer like girl perfume or something like some.
Yeah, that's an NFL running back. Sometimes you feel like a woman. Sometimes he likes to smell like a woman, apparently.
white privilege. Sports is the one place where nobody on the field has any privilege at all. She doesn't get extra points when she shoots because she's white. She gets the same number of points as anybody else.
Thank you, Scott Jennings. This guy's becoming more and more of one of my favorites these days. I used to think of Jennings there as, you know, a pretty moderate rhino in a lot of respects. He was never a big Donald Trump fan. He's always been pretty moderate on these issues. But on CNN, it's not hard to be that and still seem like a hard right conservative because you're surrounded by idiots most of the time you're on there. So yesterday they brought up the Caitlin Clark story with the fact that, of course, we covered this, what, 2 weeks ago now, when she kind of went woke after she won Athlete of the Year, and she came out and she knelt on bended knee and she gave high praise to all of the black women in the WNBA, and they're great, and they're the reason this league is great. And we're all standing up waving our hands going, what is she apologizing for? Clearly they got to her. Clearly she has bought into the wokeness, or she wouldn't feel the need to say that. And what Scott Jennings just pointed out is the truth of that. If there's no other truth in the world, can we admit that sports is the great equalizer? You can either run as fast as me or faster, or you can't.
It used to be the great equalizer, and now everything has become polarized because they're trying to make it about race. And Sheila Johnson, the Washington Mystics, I guess, owner,
yes,
she was basically saying, you know, Caitlin's great, but the fact that the WNBA had, I say record-breaking, but it was the highest viewership in how many years? I
mean, ever, probably.
Was it ever? Okay.
Yeah.
So she was trying to say that it certainly was not just Caitlin Clark. That she's not the sole reason. She was trying to point to Angel Reese and all these other players.
Listen to that bite since Kim brought it up. Go to cut to 13. This is the co-owner of the Washington Mystics. Her name is Sheila Johnson.
It has taken the WNBA almost 28 years to get to the point where we are now. And this year, something clicked with the WNBA. And it's because of the draft of the players that came in. It's just not Caitlin Clark. It's Reese. We have so much talent out there that has been unrecognized. And I don't think we can just pin it on one player.
There has been, you know, this phrase has been couch, hasn't it? The Caitlin Clark effect. Why do you think that has been the case?
Well, I want to be very diplomatic about this. It's just the structure of the way media plays out race. I'm going to be very honest. I feel really bad because I've seen so many players of color that are equally as talented, and they never got the recognition that they should have. And I think right now, it is time for that to happen.
Yeah, chicken crap. The Sheila Johnson, billionaire businesswoman, racist. She wouldn't say the white word there, that Caitlin Clark only made waves this year because she's white. It's not because she's the leading scorer in all of college basketball history. That couldn't be it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be the fact that wherever she throws a ball up from anywhere on the court, it seems to go in. She shattered dozens of WNBA records this year as a rookie. That couldn't have anything to do with it. They only like her because she's white. But if they were only paying attention, ooh, ooh, ooh. Look at the girl from LSU. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, their ratings were up. We know they were up, but they were up for a reason.
But look at Simone Biles, by the way. A phenomenal gymnast. She's black. Do you think that has anything to do? We appreciate Simone Biles not because of the color of her skin, but because she's a phenomenal gymnast.
Yeah. No, I agree. And Scott Jennings nailed him on this on CNN, and they hated it.
I think they're just disappointed that she appears to have been captured by the woke mob.
You don't like
the white
privilege. Let him articulate this, because I feel
a little bad for her, because she's going to learn that it will never be enough. No matter how much of the phrasing, no matter how much of the groveling you do, it will never be enough for the people in that league that hate her guts.
Why do you assume
they hate her guts?
Why do you assume that she is trying to pander? Isn't it also
because I hear the language?
Scott,
it's the language of the pandering. I hear.
Yeah, it's the language of the pandering. My truth. This is my truth. When somebody says those words to you, ignore everything they say after that point. Scott Jennings is absolutely right. She's pandering to try to please people like this billionaire Sheila Johnson, who owns one of the teams in the league. That, by the way, she has enriched herself in that league hasn't come close to making money in the 25 years it's been in existence. And even didn't last year with the Caitlin Clark effect. I get so tired of hearing it. It's ridiculous. All right, coming up, we'll get to Cully Stimson, senior legal fellow from Heritage. Stay tuned.
Donald John Trump is going to raise his hand on a King James Bible and take the oath of office. His third victory in his second term. And the Viceroy, Mike Davis, tells me, since it doesn't actually say consecutive, that, I don't know, maybe we do it again in 28. Are you guys down for that? Trump 28? Come on, man.
Steve Bannon knows how to get a rise out of people, doesn't he? He was speaking this weekend because he knows exactly what the media said about Trump trying to run again or become a dictator or something. I thought it was pretty funny myself. I'm sure the left will lose their collective minds about it today. We have Cully Stimson with us this morning, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Cully, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. So exactly what does the 22nd Amendment say about term limits for the presidency? Does it use the word consecutive in there anywhere?
Well, I'm opening it up right now as I speak.
I caught him off guard there. Sorry.
I have my little copy, my Heritage Guide to the Constitution, my little Declaration of Independence, which we've given away over 2 million copies. You can get a free one at heritage.org. But no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice.
Okay.
There you go.
Pretty clear. So it doesn't mention the word consecutive. It doesn't say that they can't be elected consecutively. So that kind of closes the loophole, and I guess we can allow everyone to calm down now.
Yeah, there's no loophole, but Bannon knows how to rev up the crowd. and you know, I don't think the right would go for the head fake if people were calling for Obama's third term, because we read. And we have a brain, and the left is going crazy over fake stuff. But, you know, that's who they are.
Yeah, very true, very true. You know, I was watching this weekend. I saw Daniel Penny in the booth with the president, the vice president, everybody else, Elon Musk at the Army-Navy mm-hmm. football game. And, you know, I was thinking about the fact that I think there's a pretty good chance that had Daniel Penny been convicted of something, Trump might have pardoned him anyway. But doesn't the possibility exist that if Alvin Bragg wanted to, with a hung jury on one of those counts, that he could go back after Daniel Penny?
Well, first off, Trump could not pardon him because it was a state conviction.
Oh, that's
if
true.
It had happened. And so he couldn't have. But secondly, the prosecution really had a choice to make, like every prosecutor. And I was a prosecutor, so I made these choices, too, when a jury came back and said they couldn't render a decision. But under New York law, when the jury comes back and says we can't render a decision, the judge gave them what's called an Allen instruction. It means go back in your little hidey hole in your jury deliberation room and try again. So they did that. They came back a second time and said, no, we can't figure out, we can't come to a unanimous decision on this top count. The judge should have declared a mistrial, but he didn't. He should have. But reading the tea leaves, the prosecutor then, instead of just sitting back, letting the thing end in a mistrial, which means they can get another bite at the apple, they dismissed the top charge, which means double jeopardy attached, which means they cannot bring the top charge again because jeopardy attached. Remember, you can't be tried twice for the same crime by the same sovereign. So then the jury was sent back to the deliberation room after the weekend chill out period. And they acquitted on the lower charge, and you, of course, can't be retried on the lower charge because he was acquitted. This isn't Europe where the government can appeal not guilty. So right. It's over. Done.
Good.
I have a question about this whole situation with Luigi Mangione, the guy who's accused of murdering the United Healthcare CEO. So my understanding is that he's fighting extradition efforts to New York, but that doesn't make sense to me. Help me understand that, because when I looked it up, Pennsylvania, where he is right now, has the death penalty. New York does not. So wouldn't he want to go to New York?
So you have to understand what an extradition hearing really is. An extradition hearing, because we're a republic and we have 50 sovereign entities called states, An extradition hearing is basically a hearing where one state says, hey, can we get somebody back to our state who's currently in your state? And they send an extradition request. It's a document. And as long as the four corners of the information in the four corners of the document satisfy probable cause, the judge is going to grant the extradition request. So this is a delay tactic. It's not substantive. It has nothing to do with the death penalty in Pennsylvania. It's simply him delaying the inevitable. He's going to New York, period.
Yeah, because he didn't commit the crime in Pennsylvania, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, it's good. That's good. Yep. I hadn't thought. I wondered how long they could delay something like that, but I'm sure he's going to land back in a jail somewhere in New York soon. I was trying to think, would Bragg be the one overseeing that case as well?
Yeah. Yeah, Alvin Bragg, the Soros rogue prosecutor, is going to oversee this case. But remember, and I have a piece coming out this week on this, is that no one's really talking about the fact that because this guy crossed state lines for the purpose of committing a felony, and he lied in wait, called laying in wait, he committed a federal offense. So under 18 U.S.C. 1111, which is the federal murder statute, the feds, the Trump Justice Department, could charge him with murder. Now, if Bragg screws up the case, and he's perfectly capable of doing that because he's just been a terrible prosecutor, he's an embarrassment as a prosecutor, not handling the real crime in New York. If he screws up the case, or the sentence is too low, or he gets acquitted, the feds can come in and try him.
Cully Stimson, the Heritage Foundation, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to get him on here. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll get you a check of business. Stay tuned.
Everybody's worried. I mean, we got Luigi. We got Luigi, you know, and that's good. I really feel sorry for the family. I mean, everybody's fixated on how good-looking this guy looks. If he looked like Jonah Hill, no one would care. They'd already given him a chair already. He'd be dead, okay? But he actually killed a man. A man. A man with a family. A man with...
Thank you, Chris Rock, there, for pointing out the obvious distraction over this whole thing. You think he's right, Kim?
That Luigi's attractive?
No, that part of the infatuation that some people have, their willingness to overlook what the guy did, had something to do with the fact that in all the pictures they've seen of him, he's got a six-pack and he looks like a male model.
Absolutely. He doesn't look like your typical killer. Remember the guy who was a model and people thought, all the women thought his mugshot was so attractive and they were calling him like sexy
that.
Convict
yeah, yeah.
or something
uh-huh.
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Exhibit A, this is just another example of that.
Well, I mean, I do think part of it is the loony left when you've got Elizabeth Warren and some of the others who are willing to say nobody should kill someone, but when you add the but to that sentence, then you've drifted into cuckoo land. Nobody should kill anybody, but did you see that six pack? I mean, that's not how she finished the sentence, but it's weird that they seem to think it. What he might have done was okay because everybody's mad at their healthcare company executive.
I think people are very fascinated by some of these cases when the prime suspect is someone you would just not expect.
Yeah, maybe. It's just the whole thing. I think he's right, though. The guy looked like Jonah Hill, and Jonah's lost a lot of weight since some of those movies he was in. But still, he was probably just poking his buddy Jonah there, I imagine, as much as anything. All right. I thought that was funny by Chris Rock. You know they're getting a little bit of comedy back into Saturday Night Live when they can lure Chris Rock back into it for sure. Hey, let's lure Nicole Murray in. Nicole, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. How are you?
Welcome back. We were missing you.
I missed you guys, too. I cried. I did.
Did you really?
I shed a few tears.
I can understand
that. You don't
have
to lie to Mark, Nicole.
I would never do such a thing. But yes, I'm glad to be back.
I'm holding the no, but we're just giving you some grief. We're glad to have you. What's going on out there in business today?
So futures are slightly higher Friday. The Dow Industrials lost 86. The NASDAQ up 23. The S&P 500 closed flat. The overseer of the electric grid for St. Louis and a large chunk of North America has given a green light to what it described as the largest grid expansion plan in U.S. history. The Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, approved hundreds of transmission projects across 15 states that will cover more than 5,000 total miles and cost billions of dollars. The move stands plans to boost renewable energy projects, make electricity more reliable, and even reduce costs for users. All eyes are on the Federal Reserve's meeting this Tuesday and Wednesday, when Federal Reserve officials are widely expected to lower the benchmark interest rate again. AP News reports that officials are expected to reduce the benchmark rate by another quarter of a point. Bitcoin has rallied to a new all-time high as investors awaited an expected interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve later this week. The price of the Bitcoin hit a new record of roughly $106,500. That's according to Coinmetrics. Some banks and banking trade groups are suing the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau over a finalized rule that limits overdraft fee banks can charge. Banks argue that without overdraft protection, desperate consumers will instead lean on worse, unregulated services to ease their financial burden. The Spider-Man spinoff Kraven the Hunter got off to a disastrous start, earning just $11 million at the domestic box office. Moana 2 came in first, adding just over $26.5 million domestically. Its global tally is up to $717 million, making it the fourth highest grossing film of the year. In second, Wicked, which brought in another $22.5 million. And finally, while hundreds of people piled into the heart of New York City this weekend to partake in the infamous debauchery of SantaCon, a wholesome alternative debuted. Approximately 40 people dressed as elves and gathered in Central Park for Project Elf, a sober, family-friendly version of SantaCon.
So the elf gathering is really labeled as a sober. You would have to be drinking something to put on an elf costume and dance around Central Park.
No, yeah, completely sober. I don't really get why we need this. Kids get enough events during the holiday season between photos with Santa, breakfast with Santa. SantaCon can be for adults. It's okay to leave the kids out of this one.
Speaking of elves, sorry to run over you, Nicole. I was looking at something actually this morning when I got up before I came into the office about Buddy the Elf, and that I don't know if this is true. Okay, you see a lot of stuff on the internet, but you know that iconic scene where Buddy the Elf's running through the streets of New York and he sees the guy who looks like Santa with the hat, the red sweatsuit on and the red hat with the white beard. Yeah. And he says, Santa, and then clearly it's not. Supposedly that was not planned, that they wanted it to be this authentic experience of him running through New York and everyone kind of staring at him wearing an elf costume. And that man supposedly happened to be walking across the street at the time. And I guess Will Ferrell went up to him. I'm not sure I believe that, but that was what I saw on the internet this morning.
Oh, I would believe that. That makes sense.
I read that a lot of the lines in that movie were ad-libbed by Will Ferrell. Is that true? Carl Middleman would know. He's the expert.
I believe that is true. They shoot like 10 takes of every scene. And after like, three, you're bored.
I do hope the scene where Will Ferrell's eating the gum that was stuck on the subway rail, I hope that that was not improvised and that they did, in fact, plant the gum there and it was just a set. Please tell me it was not ABC gum.
Nauseating, either way.
When is the last time you watched that film?
Me?
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Was it? I watched it 3 weeks ago.
I watched it like 2 weeks ago.
It was 24 Hours of Elf.
That wasn't why. We just sat down and I said to my daughter, "You want to watch Elf?" And my wife hates rewatching movies. And I'm like,
"What?
It's the Christmas season. We have to watch that show again. If she's seen the movie once, she doesn't care if she ever sees it again."
So she doesn't want to ever watch Home Alone more than once?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. She makes fun of me because if I'm surfing the channels and, I don't know, I see
Star Wars,
for example, or Gladiator, I'm stopping and watching that. Haven't you seen this before? I'm like, it's a great movie.
I don't read a book twice, but I will watch a movie twice.
Where are you on that, Nicole?
10 times.
I've done it all. I've read a really good book more than once. I've watched the same holiday movie, like a few core of them, every single year for the holidays, including Halloween. Like, there's a few scary movies I go to every single year. So, yeah, I don't know. I've never heard that before.
So are you on board with the fact that Gladiator is a love story?
Wait, what?
This is ridiculous. He's trying to convince his wife to watch the first Gladiator in preparation for seeing Gladiator 2, now out in movie theaters. And he was trying to say, well, Gladiator's a love story. And I told him, I actually enjoyed the first one. Yeah, sure, there's love in it, but there's love in almost every single story. But that even like the horror stories, there's love in that. Yeah. But I wouldn't call it a love story.
Well, sure it is. Just
like when I think of when I think of Chainsaw Matt, what is it? Chainsaw Massacre?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
There's technically love in that, but when I describe it to people, if I want them to watch it, I'm not going to be like, you should watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's a love story.
Gladiator is Russell Crowe in his prime. All women should appreciate
that. You mean thinner?
Well, thinner, yes. That's that too. You know what I'm saying?
He won an Academy Award for Best Actor.
He deserved it in that movie. He was fantastic.
How much trouble will you be in if she goes to see the movie with you and there is actually no romance or very little romance?
Well, I'm not promising her that in the sequel. I'm trying to get her to watch the first one so she'll want to go see the sequel and kind of understand what's going on.
Well, there is romance. It's just that it pales in comparison to the amount of heads that are chopped off and people who are stabbed.
So what?
You know, no big deal.
Let's keep our secret here. She might be on her way to yoga this morning. All right, Nicole, thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, good having you back. Glad she's back in here, and it sounds like they're trying to rally the troops up there, doesn't it, Carl?
Yes.
Yeah, get a little backup action ready when Nicole's got
to
be out. Or
to go.
Yeah, they want vacation or whatever the
case.
Gordon
works hard enough.
Well, we're glad that Jennifer's been added to the team. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News with our friend Ethan. Next hour, we'll talk to a little bit more about the Francis House School District and the bathroom policy out there. One of the parents who spoke at the meeting last week is going to join us this morning at about 7:35. We'll be right back.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Starting off with a little bad news. Kim has been reporting this all morning. William Bill Greenblatt, he's a renowned photographer and cherished figure in St. Louis, passed away at 70, surrounded by his wife and children. He began his career as a disc jockey over at Casey.
He was one of the original Casey jocks.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that about Bill.
He was smart. And got out of radio.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, he did go into photography, though, and he spent decades, his work captured iconic moments at major news events and sporting events, earning widespread recognition. He was honored as the first photographer inducted in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame in 2021 and entered the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame in 2017. His work earned accolades from the National Baseball Hall of Fame and the Lombardo chapter of the National Football Hall of Fame. So he was known. He was renowned.
I've known Bill Greenblatt since about 1993 when I started in television here. In fact, Bill took the very first photo shoot we ever hired for my daughter Gretchen when she was just toddling. He took us out to Forest Park and took pictures of her on this little bridge with her peeking between the bars and all that stuff. I mean, he's just been a mainstay. There's no event I can think of that I've gone to, a major news event over the past 30 years, that Bill wasn't there in some capacity. Either if it was a sporting event, he was there shooting it for AP.
Yes.
I believe it was
UPI.
UPI. He was the official photographer for the fire department. I mean, he covered everything.
He did a lot of work with the fire department. He was like with them all the time. He was at like every Guns N' Roses and very big advocate for fire.
I saw Mike Kehoe extended his condolences on X.
Everybody knew Bill. He was at everything. So sad. Did they give a cause of death? Do we know what happened?
He had cancer.
Aww. Oh, did he?
Okay. 70s young,
but
I wondered.
They thought he had beaten it, and then he was not at this year's Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
And everyone was like, why is Bill not here? So he was in the hospital again.
Okay.
Sad.
I learned about it on Twitter from Tom Ackerman.
You know, he took that famous picture of Mark McCloskey holding that gun in front of his house.
Did he really?
McCloskey printed it up and started sending it out like as a Christmas card.
I remember that.
And they ate UPI or whatever, and Bill ended tried to sue them over misuse of the photo. I remember that specifically.
Because they didn't pay him.
Right, because they didn't pay him, and they were using his image, if I remember that correctly.
For political purposes, that's why.
Right.
Apparently, a lot of things are flying at celebrities lately. During a concert in Glendale, Arizona, Billie Eilish was struck in the face with a bracelet while performing her Oscar-winning song, What Was I Made For?, from the Barbie soundtrack. The incident momentarily interrupted her performance, but Eilish quickly resumed singing, despite the audience booing directly at the person that threw it. This continues to be a troubling trend of objects being thrown at performers, with similar incidents involving artists Zach Bryan, Kelsey Ballerina, and Bebe Rexha. Experts suggest such actions may be driven by attempts to go viral online.
Yeah, really? You're willing to get kicked out of the concert?
I was in New Orleans for Mardi Gras one year and went to go see the Neville Brothers at the House of Blues. That sounds fantastic. Aaron Neville almost stopped the concert because people kept throwing beads on stage.
Oh.
And he's like, you hurt my sister. Please stop throwing beads or else we're going to end the show.
I'd rather have a bracelet thrown at me instead of a cell phone. Didn't one of the artists within the last year have a cell phone chucked at him?
Was it?
I think so.
It wasn't Cardi.
One of the female artists, but I can't remember who it was. Yeah. And she threw the mic at them, didn't she?
Yeah, that's
she threw the mic back.
And then I guess Jamie Foxx had a birthday party this weekend and someone threw a glass at him.
Oh, that's the story.
Hey!
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx's 57th birthday dinner at Mr. Chow in Beverly Hills turned chaotic when he was hit in the mouth by a glass thrown during an altercation with another table. According to his publicist, the incident required stitches and law enforcement was involved. Witnesses reported that Foxx asked the other group to stop being rude and vulgar as his family was present, which allegedly led to the glass being thrown.
Somebody's going to jail.
What,
they cut him, though, didn't it? I mean, it actually cut his mouth.
Yeah,
that's
he had
what
stitches.
Wow.
A woman accusing Sean Jay-Z Carter and Sean Diddy Combs of raping her in 2000. Sorry, didn't mean to laugh there. Has admitted to errors in her account, but maintains her overall allegations. The Alabama woman, represented by attorney Tony Busby, claims the two music moguls assaulted her at the MTV Music Awards, apparently at the after party when she was 13. However, discrepancies have emerged, including her father disputing parts of her story and evidence suggesting that Carter and Combs were not at the alleged location.
How would her father be able to dispute the story unless he was there?
Well, I mean, if he said she wasn't there. She was only 13.
That would be the only way that you could really dispute that. Yeah.
Well, probably somebody said to him, what kind of parent were you letting her go to something like that?
When you're 13 years old.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mark, you were talking about shopping malls being full. I might have an answer for that.
Okay.
Shopping malls may be making a comeback driven by Gen Z's preference for in-store shopping. A survey by the International Council of Shopping Centers revealed that 63% of Gen Z shoppers plan to make holiday purchases in-store, close to baby boomer levels, despite growing up in the digital age.
I know why.
Gen Z values the social and hands-on aspects of in-person shopping, such as trying items before purchasing.
Because they've been burned by Temu and Shine so much.
She is. Hey, don't knock those $5
come
but
on,
shirts you that you get from Shein all the way from China that takes 6 weeks. I've had some hits and some good outfits and some bad ones. You just really never know.
And then can you ship it back? You can't, or
they don't make it easy. No,
it.
I mean, it's like $5. So that's the trouble is that you know you only paid $5 for a dress. So you just
figure,
bad, whatever.
It. They're like, we don't have that. Fill it with this one. They're not going to send it back anyway.
No. That's how COVID goes.
Sometimes
you get what you
pay
it's for.
Worth the risk to order from there.
Wow.
Is it?
It
I
is.
Know, right? No way.
Or you can go to the mall and get what you wanted.
Coming up, we'll talk about whether or not Justin Sparks might be the next speaker of the Missouri House. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.